As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Every Tuesday, we head down to City Hall. We knock on the door of the mayor's office, and there's our great friend, Mayor John Hamilton. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm fine. Thank you. Hope you're doing well.
Yep. Once I reload on my sunscreen and make sure that I have enough ice in the cooler, well, it is summertime. We just have to be aware of that. And when we hear things like heat advisory, well, the city, you guys can't just stop and say, look, it's too hot, everybody take the day off or whatever. You have to work around and with Mother Nature. So that means trash is still going to be picked up. That means services still have to be continued. Your managers and staff, though, they're pretty familiar when we get into these either really cold or really hot situations.
Well, you're right that except for a very extreme conditions, we pick up the trash every day, and of course our firefighters and our police officers and others are on the job regardless, we appreciate that. The heat index has to, I don't know exactly what it needs to get to, but it's way up there, as does the frostbite index, gets to get way down before we'll stop doing those services, and they're all scheduled to keep going. So I don't know. Give them a wave. Give them an ice pop or something as you see them out there working each day.
Anything to keep them to cool. And that's the hard part. If you're working outside, it is outside. So everybody just needs to be safe and smart and get on with it. But no, nothing is going to stop. Is I think the greater point of that going on. So here we are. It is summertime and quiet. Nothing's happening, except there's always things happening. And the city of Bloomington is very busy, but a little too close to home, just up the street in Greenwood, Mayor Hamilton, on Sunday, a mass shooting at the Greenwood Park Mall. And it just seems like every 4 or 5 days or every 4 or 5 minutes, we have another one to deal with. I know that you can't, as mayor, declare this or stop this or do that. But from a public safety standpoint, what can you tell the listeners and what can you tell our citizens and friends and neighbors that what we try to attain and strive for on a daily basis? It is keeping the public safe, but it's impossible to have perfect games, it looks like.
Well, you know, I've talked with you before, I think, about going to mayor meetings from around the country where we gather every once in a while, and you think, the spotlight is swinging to different mayor every time, whether it's Las Vegas this year or San Bernardino or, you know, Uvalde or Charleston or Pittsburgh or, you know, you can do Newtown.
Well, you can just keep going. Buffalo, whatever city. Yeah, everybody's
been
there.
And so it is scary. And, you know, Mayor Myers, he's a friend. I know him. We've been to these meetings together. And then he wakes up and all of a sudden it's hit in Greenwood. It's just a heartbreaker. I mean, I think it's important always to put it in context. Bloomington continues to see declining crime rates, including violent crime, though we are seeing more gun activity. Overall, it's a very safe place, and the data continue to tell us that. We've got a great police department, and we work really hard to identify problems before they happen and to solve crimes that do happen, and we're very proud of that. But, you know, we are also not immune from, we got, I don't know, 200,000 guns in our county or something, probably, if you just look at the estimates, of national averages and such. And people with guns can get angry. They can get upset. They can have a really bad day, and they can turn what would have been a fist fight into a shooting. And that's really disturbing. I will continue to urge people to be very responsible with the weapons that you do have, if you have them, to store them safely and to lock them up and to keep ammunition separate and to not let people get access to them and to remember that most guns are used inside a family or known situation. They're not, so that you got to be really careful about that, we'll continue to, I know one of the things that happened, and maybe we should talk about kind of the difference between Uvalde, the terrible school shooting of a few weeks ago, and Greenwood, where you had a bystander with a weapon who intervened very quickly. And that's a, it's really a complicated situation, Mike. You know, you want your trained professionals to intervene quickly, and it looks like Uvalde, I haven't read all the reports and stuff about that, and my heart goes out to the frontline police officers who do the best they can in very complicated and challenging situations, and sometimes people make bad judgments, or, you know, the training didn't kick in as it was, or whatever. That can happen, and I don't want to blame them. I think we want to hold accountable and learn, but, you know, every day our first responders are putting themselves on the line to help keep us safe. And then, you know, the flip side is the young man who apparently helped bring an end up in Greenwood that's a valiant decision that he made. But I have to tell you, my police chief is worried about people drawing guns in public settings and trying to solve things, because you can have a lot of things go wrong, too. This one seemed to go right, but it's a tricky situation.
It was very fortunate in the sense that you could extrapolate from the situation. It could have been a lot worse based on ammunition, et cetera, and et cetera. And to your point, it's lucky as well that the innocent bystander, Good Samaritan, knew what he was doing. And that's very Hollywoodian, but I'm with you. I'm torn. I'm glad it happened the way it did, but the last thing you need is a wild, wild west where everybody's pulling a gun and who's shooting at who and whose fault is it? And it's nerve-wracking, especially when you have kids, especially when your kids hang out at the mall. I ate the food court 2 weeks ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were up there for a softball tournament. Yeah. So let's just jump in here and get something to eat. And that's... Well, yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's food courts, it's churches, it's grocery stores, it's you name it. So I'm just glad that I know public safety is a big deal in your administration. I just wanted people to hear it from you on how and what and how things go around here. And you knock on wood that you hopefully never have to make that call or face those press conferences. And I guess all we have is hope. That's about it.
Well, we hope and we plan and we prepare and look, I think it is important for people to know that the police officers of our state overwhelmingly were against the changes that just put into place what they call constitutional carry, which is, I know, it can be a bumper sticker, it can be a view people have, but the people who we pay and who are sworn to protect us did not support this, because it makes their jobs more difficult and their communities less safe in their view. And I do regret that we sometimes turn kind of philosophical or polemic, like, you know, bumper sticker arguments into political games or point making that listen to the professionals. The professionals do not want everybody to be carrying around guns. It does not make us safer. And you know, it is extremely rare for a bystander like this to produce a good result like this. And thank God that it did.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
But let's not try to pretend that that's the answer, is to have more people with guns ready to be drawn if something bad happens. Because, man, there's a lot of bad that comes from that, too, I think.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest every Tuesday just after 4:05. And you mentioned the police chief. Well, your police chief and fire chief have been dealing with strenuous building circumstances since, Third Street's been a while. But we know the fire department on 4th and Grant Street since the big flood of last summer. The city just might have a solution to this issue, and it involves the showers building downtown. And I find this interesting because that's not a place a lot of people were talking about or even dreaming out loud about. Tell me how this all came about. Tell me where the Redevelopment Commission is at and the plans to possibly move forward.
Well, you know, Mayor Allison, 25-plus years ago, kind of got the whole showers building going with the community to restore and replace and rehabilitate this great old 100-year-old factory that was such a part of our city, and turned it into three different condos, basically. The building was split into three pieces, one owned by the city, one owned by the county, and then a piece owned by the private sector, the CFC properties, Cook Properties. And that's been that case way for a long time. But, you know, city's growing. We have more space needs, and in particular, as you mentioned, the fire department headquarters building got really damaged, and the police headquarters, which is too small for our police force and never really designed well, also got damaged. So it got us looking at where some options, and frankly, the showers building was something I was interested in. Having the police department and the public safety leadership right in City Hall, next to the city council, integrated with all that we do, it could be a real value. A lot of small towns you go by and you see City Hall Police Station right there, and they're all connected. It's all part of the same thing. And sometimes when we get bigger, we split them up. But I was really interested in that. I think we got a good deal in terms of square footage and price per square foot from CFC. We do have to do some work. We got to make sure this old building can operate as a modern police department. That's going to take some architectural analysis over the next month or two, which we will do. And I should make clear, it's not meant to be a fire station. We're not going to have big ladder trucks that out of here. It's just the fire administration. It is the whole police station, but just the fire administration. We're gonna look at that, and in a couple months, I think we'll be able to make a judgment about whether we can go forward. And if we can, I do think it'll be a real benefit to have all of us together in one roof and able to integrate public safety planning and be connected directly with City Hall and City Council and all those things too.
And the interesting part of this is where do we – all right, the process, we heard $9.25 million, so we need to get that together. Who's in charge of that? We know the City Council handles that funds, the redevelopment commission's involved. What are the steps that we have to go through, Mayor Hamilton, to make sure that these 64,000 square feet answer the $64,000 question?
Well, ultimately, the City Council will have to appropriate the funds, and we'll probably borrow. This was contemplated, and it's part of the Economic Development Local Income Tax, the EDLIT, that was passed earlier this year. That was so important, and they did fund facilities like this. So it'll ultimately go in front of the City Council probably yet this year. And then one other thing I think is helpful for people to realize, fire stations send trucks out from them. They sit in the bay, and the firefighters are there, and they're ready to be deployed. We don't want that. That's not what's going to happen at City Hall. Police station does not have a bunch of police officers sitting in it waiting to be deployed. Our police officers are out in the community all the time on their shift. So the police headquarters is where the records are kept, and it's where, roll call is held and equipment is contained and all that. But the officers are not generally in the station. They're out in our community. So that's a big difference between police and fire. So the police station all can be located here. The fire administrators can be here, but our fire department, our fire stations will still be located out in the community, and we'd still need a downtown fire station we'll be looking for.
And so that just answers my next question, that the Bunger Robertson fire station is not a permanent fixture. It is a necessary, needed now fixture.
That's right. We will be looking for a location to have the engines and trucks and the overnight 24-hour shift firefighters where they're going to be. And we need one of those downtown. That's why we have the temporary facility, and we're still figuring that out. And if it does work and the police station moves and empties, we'll have that property to dispose of and decide what to do with right there on the park on 3rd Street.
Very busy times, so that's interesting. How long had this been in the works with the 64,000 square feet there? Was that something that somebody had a vision for, or just kind of why not there?
We've been talking probably for more than 6 months, I think, looking at this option. We've been looking since June for different things, and we started thinking about, well, maybe Showers Building can make us a good fit. So I think so. I hope so. We'll find out in the next couple months as we do a little more detailed digging.
Excellent. And obviously, I don't think we'd be this far in the process if you thought anything was going to be goofy or off base. Now it's just doing due diligence. Would that be an accurate way of describing what's next?
Yes, though I do think it's, this isn't, you're turning a basic office building into a police department that has to have particular security requirements and design requirements. We do want to make sure. So we're going to bring in some special architecture work. It's an old building. You know, in a way, it could be easier to build a purpose-built new public safety complex, though it would cost a lot more, I think. And we want, but we need to make sure that it can work. But I think it's quite likely it will. We just have to get some expertise in to figure out where all the pieces of the police department fit in here and how it can be rehabbed that way.
And what's the county? What's the city council's schedule moving forward? Are they back yet, or is that?
They start tomorrow.
Oh, they are
back.
Okay.
Tomorrow night. Yep.
Good for them. Good for them. So we'll hear from
fresh and refreshed and ready to get at it again, I guess. Right.
We'll get an update from Deputy Mayor Don Griffin Jr. on Thursday. How everything goes.
Goes
this evening. Before we let you go, we wanted to talk about you're going to be meeting with the statewide traffic engineers and telling them the story about Bloomington. What are you going to share with them, and what do they hope to learn from what we're doing here in our lovely city?
I'll meet the new traffic Department of Transportation commissioner. I haven't met him yet up there. And it is a nice invitation. This is a group of traffic engineers from all around the state getting together, as they do regularly. And they invited Bloomington to come and tell our story. And I think it is kind of an interesting story. I'll give you a couple examples that surprised me and maybe are surprising. The traffic count on 3rd Street. So traffic engineers like to pay attention to how many cars move back and forth or
data.
How many vehicles are
they
going,
like
right?
Data.
They like data to plan things. If you asked me a year ago to say, well, over the last 20 years, what's the traffic count on East 3rd Street been from the mall, the bypass out to the 446, I would not have told you that it went down a third over the last 20, 25 years in terms of vehicle counts. That was surprising. If you had asked me if you compared the downtown vehicle count from 1976 to 2010 and said, well, downtown has grown a lot. You've got a lot more people living there. You've got a lot more businesses there. It's, you know, our population in the city has gone up by a third or so. But the traffic count has gone down 0.46% per year over that time. Now, traffic engineers will be surprised by that, because they generally say if your population is going up and your business activity is going up, then your vehicle counts are going up.
Would make sense.
But that's not true in Bloomington. And I think what we've found is that the investment in transit, our ridership in transit has gone from $1 million a year to over $3 million a year over that period. The fact that so many people live downtown actually means a lot of them don't drive when they go places. And so one of the lessons is going to be this planning for helping people travel about in different ways and live in sustainable ways, and building bike lanes and sidewalks and paths and all that stuff actually helps. So I'll be sharing some of that story, also probably talking about how it's, you know, in Bloomington we do things like buy up old hospital sites, 24 acres, and why we do that, and why we're passing a $10 million bond every 5 years to invest in trails and infrastructure for that. So it'll be interesting. And anyway, those are just some of the examples. We look at data. We look at safety data. We look at, street usage data. And generally, Bloomington has not built a lot more lanes, if you will. You know, a lot of people are experienced with bigger cities that just keep adding traffic lanes. We have not done that. Yet we've grown, and our economy's thriving, our jobs are going, our wages are up, and so that's just kind of an interesting story, the Bloomington story, I guess.
Very cool. And once we put that subway in, that'll change everything. that'll keep them on their...
Now, you joke, but you know what? Well, it's not a subway, but this east-west line that we're talking about that we put into the local income tax is going to be like a bus rapid transit east-west. That's what we're looking at, and that'll... If you live on a line like that, and you can, there'll be really nice bus stops, there'll be very frequent service, you can get downtown to campus, to shopping, to different places very easily. It can change how you move around, and that's a good thing.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate the heads up. We wish you safe travels on your journey up to talk to the statewide people, and we'll get a full report when you come back, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I hope y'all have a good week. Stay cool, and we'll catch up next week.